Good morning, everybody. It is the Fan Morning Show with JD Bunkus and Ailish Forfar. Sportsnet 590, The Fan. I feel still very...
You're cutting a promo, eh?
Oh. Yeah. I wrote down a bunch of trash talk for you today.
To perfect.
Just cut promos, you know?
What's a bigger return?
It's basically all day long.
JD Bunkus to the morning show or Edge last night? Pretty close.
I tell you. So, I went to WWE last night. I went to Raw. Monday Night Raw. Yeah, see, you can't shake it. You can't shake the vibe. My favorite thing about going to these events is the crowd. Number one, like with a bullet, no question. Mm-hmm. The crowd is so good. There's so many chants. They just know exactly what to do. And then you start biting off of them. If you're a casual like me, and I admit I'm just a casual. I haven't seen a Monday Night Raw on television for years. So you got to pick up on the chants. You got to be able to roll with it. But my second favorite thing is not the wrestling itself. It's the entrance music. And when they come down. And Edge's entrance music is fire. It's so good. And he just comes down. It was awesome. Edge has got to be close to 50. And the man is just absolutely killing it.
Mm-hmm.
He is in incredible shape. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You would never guess it. The guy is shredded, like completely cut, ripped.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
Oh.
I had a blast. I had an absolute blast. I love going.
Awesome.
I was gonna tell you, like, it was so fun. I would tell this till the day I die.
Oh boy.
Going to a WWE event is among the greatest fan experiences that you can take in, like. I love going to soccer because it's that too, and I wish I've never been to a big time, big event soccer game. It's definitely on the bucket list, but I've never done it. I've never been to England for a Premier League game. You know, I've never been to Spain and seen Barcelona, but the closest thing that I think that I've ever done to this, other than going to Canada, going to TFC, which is also great. It's very different. I think even TFC and Team Canada fans would acknowledge that as good as the chants are, it's not like it's the whole stadium that gets going. The only thing I've ever been to that is even remotely close is this, including going to NFL football games with singing fight songs and college football games with singing fight songs. WWE, when you go in that crowd, they are so connected and so diehard for the product. They know how to act. You've got the perfect balance of, you know, young and old that are all kind of in on this together, because kids make it awesome, right? There's so many kids that are just fired up and they're around you. And then there's adults that are doing the same thing. It's just great. It really is. There's an energy to that crowd that is truly different than any other sporting experience that you can go to. And I know people will say, yeah, it's not a sporting experience, whatever. It's incredible. It really is one of my favorite live events. And I was going to ask you, do you remember anything to you that the first time you went, you were completely blown away by how fun it was? Like, have you ever been to a fringier sport or an event
live horse
that
racing.
You were not expecting? Yeah. Yeah, horse racing is great.
Live horse racing. You think, I don't know, who goes to Woodbine during the summer? It's kind of weird. I've gone to a Queen's Plate basically every. I missed it this weekend, but I've gone almost every summer.
It was so cool.
You're
like, I go every year.
This year I missed it, but I thought that a completely an underrated experience. People, you know, they're diehards. It's fun. You can be a newcomer. You can be someone that's an expert. There's no like, oh, you don't know what you're doing. They embrace new people. They like to take your money as well. I really think that horse racing is an underrated
they like
experience.
To take your money.
The G League, remember Bing Bonga? I went and I became a huge G League correspondent for Sportsnet after I went to the one game.
You know what? That one's a good one. That's a really good one. Is
huge.
semi-pro, not, they're not semi-pro leagues, but you know what I mean? Like going to an AHL game or a G League game, because in this city, we're so high event, and I brought this up before, but Toronto is incredible as a sporting town. There's no doubt about it, but we're definitely a little bit high event over anything else.
Sure.
It's really hard to get people excited about things that are second tier, like the G League and like the AHL. It's very strange, and it's always been strange to me that the Leafs are as popular as they are, and you can have loaded Marlies teams. And there have been some loaded Marlies teams, not in the last couple of years.
I went to every playoff game when the Marlies were on their Calder Cup run, and it was, first of all, extremely cheap to head into the arena. Like, you could pay like $45-$50 for a playoff game.
I know.
The arena is a nice size for that type of event because you can get a great view basically anywhere. The fans were, like, extremely passionate. And I also enjoyed the fact that there's a lot of young kids there because they could afford to bring young kids to this type of playoff game where a lot of them can't, you know, a lot of families can't bring all their family to a Leafs game because of exorbitant prices. I really, really enjoyed going to Marlies games. I went through the Calder Cup run. I haven't really been since. We should definitely recycle that type of event into our daily life, but loved it. Love Coca-Cola Coliseum for that. I mean, it could be a little bigger, of course, but perfect event. That and horse racing were the first ones I thought of. I think you're muted, JD.
It'll always be Rico to me.
There you go. You're just a little bit delayed.
I'm actually heading down to Rico today because...
Yeah. So, okay. So, horse racing for me, Marlies for me. Okay. Obviously, I got to say women's hockey. I know that the CWHL doesn't exist anymore, but when I did play, it was, I think, a really cool experience in terms of young kids, once again, being able to come out with their families. You get access with the players that you never get any other time. You're talking to the girls post-game. We're signing autographs in the lobby. You're really, like, engaging with the young crowd. It was really an experience that I miss and I think was super valuable to young hockey players, people aspiring, boys and girls. Underrated, but that's no surprise because it's women's hockey and we're never really rated to begin with. So hopefully that comes back. And I know that there are some things in the future for the PWHPA, hopefully in the new year, but that would be also another underrated sporting
event. I went to see the Furies play U of T and it didn't go well for U of T.
Boy, I smashed them, eh?
It was a bit of a mismatch. It was a good exhibition, I'm sure, for the college students at U of T, but it was very much a pretty drastic talent discrepancy between those two sides. But yeah, I think that Rico, and it will always be Rico to me, and again, I'm heading down tonight because I got to go to the X. I don't know. I haven't been to the X in years,
I'm going to go as well this year. I don't know why. I just felt this calling to get back there. Last year was canceled. It's so fun.
It's been gone for so long. Yeah. Well, here's my only thing about the X, though, is that I'm very excited for it, but I hate rides.
Really?
Oh, my God.
You did say that you're not a big fan, but these are not really rides, JD. They're like
I know.
I mean, you won't go in like the Ferris wheel.
No, but okay, so this is literally the only one. It's the Ferris wheel. I don't want to do the Ferris wheel, but I feel
what
like
is
you
wrong
have
with you?
No, Ailish, I feel like you have to do the Ferris wheel. And I'm going with a couple of couples, you know?
It's romantic, JD.
It is, and that's the thing. I just feel like the Ferris wheel is unavoidable, and I'm going to have to do the Ferris wheel. I'm not looking forward. I'm not looking forward to it whatsoever. My excitement for WWE, 10 out of 10,
yeah.
Right? Getting to show my brother. And my brother, it's funny because I used to have a roommate who was a big WWE fan, and I got him a ticket, brought him down. Thanks to Jackie Redmond, by the way, who helped us out with a couple of tickets for bringing a couple of the fellas. But my brother, my old roommate, he knew things about WWE. So every year I would watch Royal Rumble and we would have that party, which is great, which is, you know, everybody gets a ticket. You're picking your drafted numbers. You get the wrestler that your number corresponds to when they come out. Everyone's gambling on it. It's such a good time. Same with WrestleMania. Always watch WrestleMania. So at least I would have kind of like, I would know who the wrestlers are and have a kind of understanding of what was happening with them at the time. My brother has never, ever followed a day of wrestling in his life. Mm-hmm. I And he said it to me. He was like, we were growing up, we didn't watch wrestling, so what do I know about it? I was like, yep, 100%. So for him to get to experience that, that was fun. I loved bringing him in on that. Having him see me tonight at a fair, cowardly try to avoid events, is the opposite of this. Where I love, but here's the thing, I love fair games. You know, like I want to do all the rigged events.
You love losing your money. That's great.
100%. Have you heard of my gambling?
That's right.
You know, it's like, that's my favorite thing to do. I cannot wait for the fair events. That's so fun to me. Going to a fair, going to an amusement park, anything like that, that has those games, that's my calling in life, is wanting to play those games. Every other part of it, though, makes me sick. Although I'm excited because the food, too.
Okay, there's so last week when you were off, Gunning and I went through all of the new foods at the X and kind of gave them power rankings if we would or wouldn't. You should go back and listen to the Fan Morning Show podcast. I think it was Thursday or Friday. But anyway, there's some incredible, actual, like real ones that I would want to go eat. And then, of course, there's the disgusting, like, do you want a ketchup or mustard ice cream cone? Because you're getting one tonight. No. You have to get a mustard ice cream cone because you are the king of mustard.
No. Yeah, I love mustard on a sausage. I don't love just mustard on an ice cream cone. I truly can't. Those
I'll send you money to do it.
Especially since it's like, well, okay, fine. You can pay for my things, and I'll take a picture with it and just to spoil my health.
I want you to live stream it. Come on.
Yeah, I will. Listen, if you send me the money, I'll spend your money. You can be my benefactor. Like, 100%. I'll do things.
You're
for money.
Your little sugar daddy for ice cream.
Yeah, thank you. I could have used you as a sugar daddy yesterday when again.
Did you spend a lot of money or what?
Well, it's just, you know, you go for a round of beers for four guys and you tip. Four
you come
beers.
Back, you're like, whoa.
Four beers, tip. What do you get? Give me a guess.
Four beers and a tip at like draft beers or like we're talking in a tall boy?
Draft.
With a tip. I'm going to say $62.
$89.
No. JD.
Yeah. $89.
You know what you can buy for
$89? And I hate to out myself for this. Yeah. I don't even feel shame for saying this. Whenever I'm at a baseball game or a hockey game, whatever, I always tip the lowest amount unless the person is coming to my seats. Mm-hmm. If the person is coming to my seats, then the tip goes up a little bit because they're actually doing something. But the tip at a baseball game or any type of sporting event when you're actually at the stand is the biggest scam in the history of anything.
And
because
the
they're turning around, they're selling you completely overpriced.
The tip range starts at 20%, then it's 22%, 24%. Yeah. 24%? Okay. What? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
What? Like, you just turned around in the fridge and handed me a neutral.
Ailish, this is something that we need to discuss as a society, which is how aggressive tipping is getting. It's getting out of control. First of all, it's like tipping, why are the percentages going up so drastically? Because the whole point of the tipping industry is why it stays the same. It's like it goes up with inflation. It's the same percentage of the things you're buying. You're also still tipping now after tax at a lot of different places. And now you're being basically bullied into a minimum of 22% or you're a war criminal. And I don't get it. And we live in such an expensive city here in Toronto. Everything costs money, right? Mm-hmm. I'm surprised that when I walk out of my apartment now, they're like, oxygen, $82. I'm like, oh, God. All right, fine. I'll pay for this. We live in such an expensive city, and the tipping culture is getting completely outrageous. And everybody, I think, did a pretty damn good job during the pandemic of trying to support local and trying to get out to our businesses and trying to support bars and restaurants and 100%. But if we need to make sure that you go out and get a couple of beers and you have to tip your server 25% every single time as basically the bare minimum, then we got to reevaluate the bar and restaurant industry in terms of like who should be keeping this thing alive. No, it's out of hand. And it's out of hand to the point where you go to a baseball game and you're paying a huge markup on beers and someone who is cracking the beer and handing it to you, you are obligated if you're getting two of these beers to give them $7. Like, no. It's out of control. I need to start doing this where I hit that no tip button. But hitting that no tip button, hitting that no tip button is the worst you will feel. I mean, you go to places. I went to a bottle shop this weekend, and they turn the thing. I'm buying an expensive bottle of wine in a bottle shop.
And you they probably grab it out of the case. Like, did they hand it to you?
You go and you get it off the wall in the bottle shop. You go up to the till and bring them a bottle of wine. And go, I'd like to buy this bottle of wine. They turn that tablet to you, and there's you got to search frantically for that no tip option on a bottle of wine that is already
like it's hidden. It's and then they're waiting there for you, and you're like tapping no tip. And
no, if I get elected mayor, which I should because our options are bad here. Like honestly, I could run and be a viable option based on who we get for mayor in this city. If I run for mayor, day one is we're getting rid of the tap screens. No more tap screens for tipping. Mm-hmm. You know, you do it it's private. They hand you a thing. It's not on a huge public screen for the whole world to see what a cheap ass you are. Or so they say, oh, why are you a cheap ass when you go to a bakery? Where again, you're paying a huge markup. You're going and buying flour and sugar. And in this city, that costs you like two cupcakes, $33. You go to a bakery, you walk in there, and you're being asked to tip on top of that, 22%. Why? The whole thing is that you're doing something where there's an incredible markup on the product. Why am I tipping you? Why is everything tipping here? Why is it on a huge screen? And why is it on a huge screen where you can't even see? You go in to a store for pot. You go into a dispensary, and they have tip options at the dispensary, for God's sakes. Like, no, we've lost it. We've absolutely lost it with tipping culture. It's gone way off the rails. This is not normal. We're losing it. Anyway, I don't know how we ended up here. We got to get to Blue Jays.
Okay, wait, hold on. It's text line Tuesday, everybody. You have now sparked...
No, it's nuts.
You have now sparked the hottest text line day of all time. We'll have to cycle this in.
Yeah, good, because people know tipping. I'm right. People know I'm right, And I'm sorry if you're a server that's listening to this or you got a second job. No one's saying don't tip. And I 1,000% tip on incredible service. Mm-hmm. I've worked in the service industry in a couple of different forms. There is no doubt about it. Tipping is good. I love tipping. But it should be a reward for good service. It shouldn't be just, hey, everyone is getting 25% for turning around and cracking a beer for you. And it certainly shouldn't be the case when we're at these things where markups are insane, like at a stadium, that everyone should feel pressured to give every single person that kind of a tip. It should be way more accessible to give $1, $2 for something like that, because that's reasonable. It shouldn't be $8 mm-hmm. for someone cracking a beer for you and handing it to you out of a fridge. I'm sorry. It can't be.
Okay.
It can't be that.
Besides paying incredible amount for beer, what was the best part of the night at WWE Monday Night Raw for you?
Edge coming out, but also it was really funny. I don't know if it was really funny. Uh-oh. They start the event with basically commercial for Sportsnet. And people were booing Sportsnet. And I was standing up
You're up in my seat,
oh, Sportsnet rules. Yeah, I was like, Sportsnet rules. Why is everyone? I was like, and then I tried to be a heel and was pointing at people being like, you wouldn't even get wrestling if it wasn't for Sportsnet. You owe Sportsnet everything. Because so, I was in the Sportsnet seat, I felt like I needed to stick up for Sportsnet.
There's probably a lot of Sportsnet people around you, too. So that's the boss is watching you.
It was so funny. I had a blast. I saw Jamie Campbell there with his son. One of our bosses, Greg Sansoni, he was there with his family. It was great. It actually, I will say, sometimes, you know, you're at a huge company, it doesn't feel very familial, but this night actually did feel like Steve Dangle was there. There was a lot of Sportsnet presence, but yeah,
still didn't
you definitely
get the invite, but okay.
You didn't?
Nope.
Oh, that's, I mean,
never one person.
Should not one person.
Not a single person.
That's tough. Oh, that's really tough for you.
It is tough for me.
Back from your luxury cottage that you flew into.
Hey, you took 5 days off and you still got to go, all right?
Poor you. Oh, my goodness.
Me.
Are you okay?
Oh, poor you.
I would have tipped the person that would have offered me tickets.
Yeah. I mean, I got some Sportsnet tickets. I got some WWE Connection tickets. It was a good night. Okay, so the 5 days I'm gone that you just referenced have got to be... It's got to be one of the most hilarious swings in my Blue Jays watching experience.
Yep.
Where I leave on Thursday, and it feels like the Jays are in real jeopardy of falling out of a playoff spot. They're losing games to Baltimore. I think they had lost five straight to Baltimore.
Vibes are bad.
And I had a genuine... not only are vibes bad, but you're looking forward and saying, how are they going to do this? Mm-hmm. The way that, that things are going, it just feels as though they're on the verge of what we could remember as the 18-wheeler season that the Leafs had, where you go, oh my God, this can't be real, that they expanded the wild card, and all of a sudden a team like Baltimore, with no payroll, in the middle of a complete teardown, is going to find a way to leapfrog you. There's just absolutely no way. All these teams, it's clustered all in the middle, and you're looking at it and going, boy, this is ugly. To getting into a Yankee series and being reminded of this weird Yankee season that this team is in complete freefall to the point where their manager has to do the pound the table move after, I think, game three, mm-hmm. trying to motivate his players through probably one of the weirder motivational tactics that you'll see, because they keep losing series after series after series. And what seemed like this insurmountable, uncatchable lead that the Yankees had built in the American League East, all of a sudden you were looking at it and saying, if the Jays sweep this series, maybe the American League East is open for business at the top. It still seems a little far-fetched, even with some games down the stretch, that the Jays control a little bit of destiny, I guess. I think that the odds after they won Game 3, old Ben Ennis, he was tweeting about the Fangraphs odds. Mm-hmm. I saw, I think it was something around 13%. Mm-hmm. So it was still relatively low. I think after the loss, it fell to somewhere in the 6% range. But even still, just to have that drastic of a swing and feeling of, oh my God, are they going to miss the playoffs too? Oh my God, could they win the division? Was hilarious. It really was astonishing how quickly that flipped. And another reminder that no sport will make you feel dumber than baseball. Not a single sport on planet Earth can make you feel as dumb as baseball, because there are just so many games. And if you have a take one week, it's going to look like the dumbest take on Earth the following week. But you know what the big difference was? Pitching. Mm-hmm. Starting freaking pitching. Mm-hmm. Five games, five starters. They got 30 innings and gave up three runs. And it all starts with the guy that I think is on the mound tonight. I was looking at probable pitchers. It didn't show, but this should be his turn in the order. Mm-hmm. Ross Stripling. He came in off of his injury and completely just stopped the bleeding. He cauterized the wound. He came in and he threw an almost perfect game. He went what? He went into the seventh inning with a perfect game, right?
That's right.
Comes in and dominates and just gives this team exactly what they need. And from that point forward, it was kind of one of those, maybe momentum is something game to game, because guys are just taking the ball and everybody's going out there and delivering something. Ross Stripling, he's certainly not this team's MVP. He's not even one of the top two starting pitchers on this ball club this year. There's like obviously not. But his season continues to be one of the more underappreciated Blue Jays seasons I can ever remember. They have $20 million tied up in Hyunjin Ryu. He goes down, Ross Stripling takes the slab, and he's been awesome for them ever since. They have had disastrous years from Jose Berríos and from Yusei Kikuchi. Disastrous. And yeah, Berríos has had some good starts. There's no doubt about it. It's not been the same. But you can't look me in the eye if you're a Blue Jays fan and say that this has even been an okay or decent or anything other than disastrous season from Jose Berríos. If I would have told you that this was going to be his ERA this deep into the year, into August, and that I would show you his splits against good teams, and you could say it's anything but a disaster, you're lying to yourself. Like, truly. Where would this team be without Ross Stripling and his 90 innings that he's provided this team of sub-3 ERA?
Not in a wild card spot.
2.93 ERA this season. Exactly. Exactly. 89 innings this season, ERA of 2.93. He's got a win-loss of 63%. He's been incredible this year, and The thing that we haven't discussed is that everybody feels as though Ross Stripling is leaving. And rightfully so, right? We saw this with Steven Matz. Guy who's in his early-ish 30s, who is in a contract year that has the best season of his career. And I do think that, you know, you can look at Stripling's 2018 and say, all right, that was his best one as of right now still. 122 innings pitched, 3 ERA. He made the All-Star team. But he could rival that this year. He can absolutely get in the range of us discussing which one is his best season if he continues to go at this rate, and especially if he goes into the playoffs and actually delivers something there. Because I do think that they would still pitch Berríos as their number three guy. But to me, it's absolutely becoming a discussion the more and more Ross Stripling goes out and delivers performances like this. We've seen this story play out where an older player is entering a contract season, has one of their better seasons of their career, and you kind of just have to tip the cap and say, hey, thank you for coming out, but the Blue Jays cannot pay you. But it is pretty interesting that they went out and got Mitch White as the, you're the replacement for Ross Stripling. Even that trade, we went, this guy's the next Ross Stripling. He's going to come in here. He'll be the long man who can turn into your sixth starter if you need him to be. He can give you four solid innings, or he can give you two, three.
We called him Ross Stripling Light.
Right. That they went out and got that guy, but that means even if he steps in next year, they're going to have to replace, you know, they're going to have to add somebody else because they were short this season. He's been incredible for them this year. And just an incredibly enjoyable year from Ross Stripling. In what's been a frustrating season with a lot of ups and downs, he just hasn't had a lot of downs. And he has come in a few different times this year. And I thought it was just very symbolic of what he has represented for the Blue Jays. That, you know, you lose Hyunjin Ryu, you lose the $20 million, or you don't have what you're getting out of your starting staff this year. And the veteran, who everybody likes, steps in there with the little expectations. And we keep going, he's going to regress, he's not going to be able to do it. He steps in there with low expectations, low hype. Nobody's thrilled about the return of Ross Stripling. They just go, oh yeah, like, that's good, he's back. Even though he's been this important to this team, he's truly been one of their most important players. And it's just been a bit of a weird year where fans haven't really embraced him. He hasn't become quite as popular as usually a, you know, a blue-collar journeyman-esque player becomes in a city like Toronto, where these kind of guys get embraced. Part of it, I do think, is that he could be leaving next year. The other part of it is that there are so many players on this Blue Jays team to be excited for. It's hard to fault anyone for not, you know, staking out a claim on Ross Stripling. But either way, I've loved this year. And it is going to be curious what his next contract looks like, and whether or not the Blue Jays are going to be able to be in on something that is potentially a 3-year deal. If it's longer than that, there's no chance. And in a stacked free agency class, you wonder if that number maybe comes down a little bit and allows Toronto to be competitive, because they've got a lot of salary now tied into some guys that aren't giving them great innings. And it's hard to envision them investing a lot or forking over a big money deal for Ross Stripling after they let the likes of Steven Matz go. Feels like, again, that was the exact precedent, but boy, oh boy, oh boy, would it be nice to have this guy around at least for another year or two.
About 2 or 3 weeks ago, we felt pretty confident that Ross Stripling would move into the bullpen come playoffs, and I don't feel like that has stayed true. I really think there is that conversation between him and Berríos being that third guy come playoffs. Maybe it's less stated now, but, well, really, Berríos is clearly not consistent. He did pretty well on the road against the Yankees on that Thursday, I believe it was. That's a great start. The splits are the splits, but hey, you got a road game where you showed up. That's good. But I don't feel
against
like
a
I'm
team above 500. That's
exactly
huge
on in a really a tough place to pitch. And a great huge weekend. That was big. So maybe there's a little bit of a competitive situation, but I couldn't agree more with Ross Stripling. A big fan. I think he has been completely underrated, as you put it. Hopefully we can rate him properly and give him the flowers he deserves, but he's been huge. Now the Blue Jays had that day off yesterday and another big series here against the Red Sox. must wins. Last time they were there, we remember what happened. the massive, massive blow up. The massive blowout for the Blue Jays. So, you know, it's must win points. It's must win standings for the Blue Jays. We have Blue Jays talk coming up. I'm going to have Caitlin on my show. We have a pretty fun show ahead. Tyler Dunn. We got Text Line Tuesday as well. Keep that coming. We have lots of texts about tips. Lots of texts about tips in there. You struck a nerve with the Torontonians who pay much too much for beers. But the A-list today. It was, I know we talk about loony dogs quite a lot on the show. But it was another type of foot-long loony dogs at the Oakland A's Stadium this weekend. That's next on the Fan Morning Show. Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Sportsnet 590.
Fan Morning Show. Sportsnet 590, The Fan. It's Text Line Tuesday. Lots of tip comments. Just the tip. It's the A-list. It's the A-list, Josh. Play it.
Now, it's time for the A-list.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
What's up, baby?
All right. Things have gotten so bad in Oakland. The stadium is so empty. The fans can do basically anything.
I can't wait to see how you're going to do this.
Fans can do whatever they want because there's just really no rules. It's the wild, wild west. So Oakland takes on Seattle Sunday afternoon. So bright as day, just a nice day for the kids. And a couple was filmed in the midst of a lewd act. Sitting in the very, very, very top row in the very, very corner of the arena or the stadium. No one within a stone's throw. This couple enjoyed themselves quite publicly and were asked to leave the stadium once they were caught. They could be...
I think that there was more than asked.
They were escorted, certainly. The penalty for such offense is up to 6 months behind bars and a fine for up to $1,000 and or thinking that they'll get the fine for $1,000. But the couple helped break an Oakland A's 81-game streak where they hadn't hit a triple. The triple was just another way that somebody got to third base.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. They
okay. That was the most polite way to tell
here,
that
Josh.
Story.
I Josh is a harsh critic today. He,
that was amazing.
The A-list drop
got like five different puns in there.
I gotta tell you, I didn't know the punishment. I assume you're not going to jail for that. I just assume that nobody's actually putting you in jail for 6 months. That's one of those things where they go, don't download that movie illegally or you could go to jail. And you go, I can't imagine being, you know, in Quantico and you're walking around. It's like, what did you do? And guy's like, I killed eight people. And then you're there. It's like, what'd you do? And they went, I torrented a movie and Warner Brothers found out about it. I tried to steal Top Gun. And you're like, no, okay. You're clearly not going to jail. I don't think that these people went to jail. And I kind of think that not everybody can afford $1,000. I know that can be a steep price, U.S., but for the story, it's not like... You remember the other day when we heard about the baseball player that had the cell phone in his pocket and it fell out, and I went, you need to make sure that he gets suspended a game because otherwise people are going to do it over and over and over again. Like they are. Eventually somebody, if it's just a money thing, one of these days, some guy who makes $500 million is going to decide, like, I'm bringing my phone on the field and I'm starting a precedent of phones on the field. So they had to give that guy a game. And it stinks because it seems so unfair and it seems so unfun. But in reality, nobody wants to have all of a sudden phones on the baseball diamond and have this an added dynamic. It's lame. You want your guys focused on sports. That's not a part of it. We have phones in enough places. We certainly don't need them on our fields. So they had to give him a game. This kind of feels the same way where you go, you can't let people know that that's only $1,000. You know? Because people with money might get a little excited and start trying to replicate this experience. I saw the video. I love the idea that they thought, and I like to think anyways, that they thought no one would know.
It couldn't have been more obvious, actually, because there's one couple sitting in a section that is as far away from everything in the top
well,
row.
It could have,
like, your
it
eyes are going to go there and be like, it's weird that those people are sitting there. Oh, what are they doing?
Yeah, I think that your eyes would go there if they were doing that beside you. I don't think that,
remember,
you know,
when
you
Kodak
would go,
Black was accused of doing such a thing, but he really was just grinding up and dancing at the Florida Panthers game? I don't think there's any doubt
knowing
this is what happened.
Being a Kodak Black fan, I would like to say that based on his track record, I am not, the jury is not,
concluded that
was a false accusation for me. No. I think that Kodak Black was doing some things in that stadium. Like, it wasn't a false accusation. But yeah, it's a gutsy move. It's a really gutsy move. I can't think of something or a worse place to try to get away with something like that than a stadium.
On a Sunday,
like, there's cameras everywhere.
In the brightest of the sun.
But that's it. It's like you're not only in a stadium, you're not only in a highly public place, but you're also somewhere where people, it's a baseball game. Like, people are bored at baseball games. There's so much downtime, like you said, to look around and check, why are there people sitting there? There's cameras everywhere. There's security everywhere. It to me is like, I kind of hope that they're exhibitionists and that they knew that they were getting caught and they needed to do this rather than the alternative. I don't know which is funnier, that they wanted to get caught or that they had no idea.
I think the funnier one is they got carried away at this game and thought that nobody would notice.
Would know. Yeah. All right.
Okay.
I also love when you bring up stories like this and I go, is she trying to get fired or is she trying to get me fired?
All I'm doing
like,
is sharing
the
hottest of news with the listeners. This was a very hot topic online.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, you bring this up and I go, boy, she's really risking this. Like, she's the puns, the setup, the story choice. I'm going, she might say something where this is it for her. You've had a few of these.
Nope.
You've had a few of these. But you always also know that you say the story and then you throw it over to me. Like, thoughts, comments, observations. Yeah, and then I actually have to tread and go, please don't say anything stupid. Please don't say anything over the top. Please don't cross any lines. So I can't tell if you're – again, this is the same thing. What is happening here? Is it you being oblivious to the perils of the job? Or is it you being a genius who sneaky hates me and wants the Eilish hour to be 4 hours and wants me gone by setting me up for some of these tales?
You don't want to know the answer.
Yeah. Okay. What's next?
Talking about
what landmine do I have to navigate next?
Okay, I was about to have a very lewd transition. Okay, hot dogs once again. Last night I tagged you in a video that also went viral of this man, this individual who just ruined everybody's lives. Basically, it's not a Looney Dogs event, but it could have been. A gentleman is sitting at the Mets-Yankees game last night, the Subway Series. He proceeds to take the wiener out of the bun of his hot dog and insert a straw through the middle and out the other side to create a wiener straw. With that wiener straw, he then proceeds to drink his beer through...
Wiener straw.
The wiener straw.
No, you gotta not say wiener straw. You gotta rebrand this.
The hot dog straw.
You're right. It's a,
and he
yeah,
just
that's better.
Guzzles his beer up, and it's on video. It is now circled around every crevice of the internet, probably the dark web.
Gosh.
And
You're going to make me puke with all your words today. Like, wiener, straw, guzzle. Like, yeah, it's just, okay, let's just get it over with.
So that's it. Crevice. And I tagged you in it being like, this you, because you dipped your hot dog in the beer, and this is just the next step.
Okay, so first of all, dipping the hot dog in the beer was good. I said, here's how I can tell you it was good. I did it more than once, all right? I didn't just dip for show. I dipped for dough. Okay, when the chips were down, I dipped again. I double dipped that chip. Like, I went back to the beer. I hammered that entire dog with the beer dip. It kind of went well with the bread. It worked. I stand by it. I think that it was worth trying, especially on Looney Dog Night. Those dogs are slimy and tiny and not elite. You know, a hot dog, you gotta have some grill marks, you gotta have something. Those things are putrid, truly. I remember I had the first two. That evening, and I went, you know, this is embarrassing that we're all out here just we're just glizzy coloring. We're going out here with like 40,000 glizzies like this. These terrible ones. No way. This is bad. This is a tough look for the city of Toronto. We shouldn't be like celebrating these numbers. I went back and I got two more because I was starving because they're tiny and I waited all day to eat and I was like, okay, whatever. Now I'm a few beers deep. I tried it. It was fine. I still stand by the beer dip. Worth a shot. It's a whole other thing hollowing out a hot dog and sipping through the hot dog. Like, this is just, I'd like to believe that no human is this sick in terms of he wants it for the taste. Obviously, that's not the case. This is just a further example of where we are at in society, where everything is for the gram and everything is for just, you know,
this guy didn't look like he cared too much about social media. He's an older guy, he's by himself. No, I know. Like,
wow, that's ageist. You're ageist. You know, that maybe that's what gets that's you right. fired is your clear that's disrespect right. for people that are a little bit
I'm just
older.
Saying.
As a part of now the elderly community, I would like to say that we also like to go viral on social media. No, it's just, this is it, is people will do anything to just have 2 seconds of being seen on the internet. It's sad, but that's just what this is. Like, there's no way that he's doing it for genuine taste. Like, no one wants to sip through a hot dog straw. That's a prank. That's a fear factor event. You know, that's gross. This is for clout, unfortunately. But yes, that's too far for me.
What do you think of me naming it the Strawsage?
It's all right.
That's amazing. It's the Strawsage.
No, because it just doesn't. It's missing something. The Strawsage, you know, you're going, sorry, what? It's not that self-explanatory. I'll give that a 4 out of 10.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's so incorrect. Anyway, people text in. They're going to love it. Okay. Saturday, during a Little League World Series game. Wow, lots of baseball today. The elimination game between Iowa and Washington. We talked about Little League World Series. Is it too much to bet on? Well, this could have been a fixed game, okay? In the sixth and final inning of the game, Iowa's holding
Where'd you land on that?
Well, you'll see. Iowa's holding a 6-3 lead. One more out to go for the win. Washington batter works the count to 3-2. On the next pitch, Iowa thought they had secured the victory, which should have been called strike for the final out. Instead, the umpire calls a ball, sending the batter to first base, bringing the tying run to the plate. So the coach comes out to the mound, calls a meeting, and this was caught on audio.
Half the Iowa team was off the field, or at least making a move to leave the field, but with the walk, it brings up Braden Rudolph as the tying run.
Nothing we can do about that strike call, okay?
So the little boy says, it's for ESPN. ESPN's doing this because they like the ratings. This young child, and this is an ESPN broadcast, and the broadcasters are like, anyway.
That kid is a hero. That kid is a baller. Honestly, I love that kid. Is this Iowa? That's my
Iowa
squad. Yeah, the Iowa was pitching. Iowa was who got jobbed on the strike.
That's right.
Did they win? Please
they go
tell me
on
Iowa
to win
still
the game.
Okay, good. Thank God. Because I'm Iowa till I die now. Because that kid, that is exactly the kind of kid you want to coach in baseball. Is you got to get back in the game. But you got to have the type of fierce competitor kid that when they miss one strike call and you're on the verge of winning the baseball game, immediately cries conspiracy, cries foul about it, and
sounds like
insinuates
something you would have done as a child.
That's what I'm saying. This kid is I wish this was my kid. I wish this was my kid. He's just immediately blasting ESPN, insinuating that there's a conspiracy to the level of some ESPN executive got to the umpires and said, was like, hey, in the Iowa game, what we'd really like to do is stretch this sucker out and make sure that we can up the ratings, because God knows that if you hear there's Little League World Series going into extra innings, you're going to tune in. You're going to get an alert on your phone, and you're going to know that Iowa and who?
Washington.
Iowa and Washington are heading to extras, and you and your friends will drop everything and make sure that you rush to a TV to see the ratings bonanza that is the extra innings of the Little League World Series. This kid's awesome. This kid loves sports. This kid loves sports to the degree of, like, he's in the moment, and this is perfect. I'm a big fan of this kid. Go Iowa. Iowa till I die.
I'm trying to find out the young boy's name. So then you can keep tabs on his
career.
Doesn't
matter. It's better if he's just
anonymous.
Unknown. And then this comes up someday when he makes the major leagues as this is the kid that cried foul against ESPN. I also love that he was mic'd up and that they
I think the coach was mic'd up. And so the coach approaches the mound and it gets caught on it. And the coach is like, okay, let's move on. Like, let's not blame ESPN. Mm-hmm. But it's still caught.
I was terrified with the way you set this up, because the way you set this up was, hey, we thought, is this too far field to gamble on, and could it be rigged? And I was really hoping that I was like, oh, I hope this isn't going to turn out into some weird sportsmanship moment where I just thought the worst. I thought we were going to get a Donahue situation.
Do you want to hear his name?
Sure, let's hear it.
Colin Townsend.
What was the first kid's name that they said in the broadcast? He was the most, like, that's the most Little League World Series name, where it was like Braden something.
Oh, something,
I was like,
oh,
yeah. I went, oh, yeah, that's a kid that plays in Little League
He's
World
12
Series.
Years old.
Either way. Yeah. I've never seen any of it. I've just seen the highlights of the kids doing their walk-up intro stuff. Mm-hmm. I've never actually watched a Little League World Series
Oh, the kid's
game.
Name was Raiden Rudolph. Braden Rudolph.
Braden. Yeah,
Braden like, Rudolph.
Braden. Yeah, Braden Rudolph. That's the name of the kid that plays in a Little League World Series.
Love it.
But, yeah, that's good for the kids. Good for the kids that care that much, the 12-year-olds that care that much. What a crazy experience that must be, though, too, is, you know, when you're that age and you actually are playing in a nationally televised event. You really find out, you know, who the chokers and who the non-chokers are.
Who can rise
at a young
to the
age.
Occasion.
So, I mean, knowing that you're on ESPN and being aware of that is like, yeah, and still being able to perform. So, big. Sneaky. I think that we did okay today on the A-list in terms of nobody getting in trouble.
Yeah. There's lots of texts in the text line on comments about this, but we'll save that. Keep them coming, 590-590. It is Text Line Tuesday.
Yeah, it's Text Line Tuesday. Fire away. Again, tipping culture, Blue Jays hot streak. Ross Stripling contract, whatever you want to do today. Football season's here. Again, I'm watching preseason games. I'm just basically my TV is whenever it's not on watching a Jays game, it's just running NFL Network 24/7 at this point. Like it is the season where I'm learning backup tight ends that I'm going to draft way too high in my fantasy league who have, you know, good games and six receptions in a preseason game with the backup quarterback. That's my life right now. So yeah, whatever you want to discuss today, we'll get into NFL. Where does the John Gruden, Tom Brady, Gronkowski, Oakland Raiders rumor rank among the game's greatest what ifs? That and some underrated storylines from this year's NFL training camp with Ty Dunn, our buddy, next on the Fan Morning Show, JD Bunkus, Ailish Forfar, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.